You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. We just heard how the Affordable Care Act might change under a Trump presidency. One part of the ACA is women's health. Right now, women in the U.S. have access to birth control and other preventative care without co-pays or deductibles from their insurance companies. Plus, there is the question of Planned Parenthood and its funding. Sarah Cliff is a senior editor at Vox, and she writes primarily about healthcare. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You know, we've just been talking about the Affordable Care Act with our healthcare correspondent, and I guess since we're breaking down this subset of it, what would repealing the ACA do to and for women's health?
So there could be a lot of changes. One of the ones that comes to mind immediately is a change to the birth control mandate. So since 2012, the ACA has mandated that everybody, not just people in the marketplaces, everybody have access to no-cost sharing contraceptives. You can get an IUD at no cost, get birth control pills at no cost. That requirement has been quite popular. Lots of women have used it. It is one of the best-liked parts of the Affordable Care Act, and that is something that could very easily be on the chopping block with repeal.
And my understanding is, and tell me how this works, that's not something that the president-elect would have to go to Congress for.
Yeah, it's kind of in a weird spot because of some regulatory factors. But the contraceptive mandate in Obamacare, it isn't actually part of the law. The law just says insurance companies have to cover preventative health benefits for women. It's up to the administration to decide what counts as a preventative health benefit. The Trump administration, day one, if they want, they can go in, they can write new regulations, scratch birth control off the list, and that takes effect pretty immediately. So Congress does not have to do anything as they would to repeal most other parts of the Affordable Care Act.
So let's say that happens. What would that mean for women economically?
It would mean spending a lot more money on contraceptives. And this would matter a lot for women who are getting birth control pills every month, who would probably face a $5, $10 copay depending on their insurance. Especially for long-acting reversible birth controls, which can be quite expensive, like IUDs, insurance companies, if they want, they can charge that all out of pocket, which could be up to $500, which is why you might have seen some articles flying around the internet this week saying, get your IUDs now before January and Trump comes into office, which I initially thought were quite alarmist. And, you know, I didn't realize it was so different from the rest of the ACA, but it really does seem like this is something that could go away very quickly, and it would mean for women spending more on contraceptives. It would probably mean more unintended pregnancies, too. The best research we have suggests when you have less access to birth control, you have more women getting pregnant unexpectedly.
One very controversial topic that we're going to dive into is Planned Parenthood. Trump campaigned, among other things, on a promise to defund Planned Parenthood. And this is a very thorny question, both in terms of policy, but also in terms of the economics of how something like Planned Parenthood works. So I would like you to walk us through what it means if a Trump administration says no federal money for Planned Parenthood whatsoever.
So you would probably see a lot less Planned Parenthoods is the kind of upshot of it. Planned Parenthood gets a lot of money from the federal government right now. And this is not for the abortion. There are federal regulations that do not allow the government to spend money on abortions. This is for the work they do.
Although we should say that people who are anti-abortion would say that money is fungible.
Sure. Yeah. So federal money can go to a clinic that provides abortions. Usually it's grants to increase screenings for cancer, to provide birth control to low-income women, to give them reproductive health counseling. It is true that it does go to abortion clinics. It goes to clinics like Planned Parenthood. And that is why you've seen this push over the past few years to defund Planned Parenthood, that anti-abortion advocates will argue, well, they couldn't be in the abortion business if they weren't getting all these federal grants. And they do seem to be right, that what you would expect is a lot of these Planned Parenthood clinics would likely shut down. There doesn't seem to be right now the infrastructure for other clinics to come in and take their place. You'd see a lot less Planned Parenthood clinics and not other clinics able to step up and fill that gap they would leave behind.
Yeah, I guess that's sort of the follow-on question where folks who say there should not be government money for Planned Parenthood have also said, well, private businesses would come in and fill that gap, private clinics would. Is there any evidence to support that private clinics would do that?
There isn't at the moment. The best evidence we have comes from Texas, which did defund Planned Parenthood clinics in 2013. So you see research coming out of the University of Texas where high-income women are able to get their services elsewhere, where they go to a different doctor, they're able to find something. Low-income women, they just get less health care. It does not seem to be the case that they just go to another provider. There's some other interesting research looking at states in the Midwest where reproductive health clinics closed. And again, they found that women who became further from a clinic, they just got less health care. And it kind of makes sense when you think about it, that if you have a reproductive health clinic maybe 3-5 miles away, maybe you'll go get your cervical cancer screening. It's not that much work. But if you're going to have to drive 25-50 miles, like the preventative services they're providing are, you know, for something that might or might not happen. So you might just say, you know what, it's not worth the work to get that screening. So the best research we have, it's admittedly a pretty small body of research. It does not suggest that other clinics step in to fill the place when Planned Parenthood goes away.
Sarah Cliff, senior editor at Vox, thank you so much.
Thank you.